by laws and regulations. Those regulations don't impact, since you don't own the property, those regulations, if they change, are not a taking of your property. Now, we have a long-standing tradition in this state of not denying people access to their property, but I can assure you that providing access for industrial uses is a totally different set of circumstances. In many cases, suitable access for heavy industrial type traffic does not exist, and a person that wishes to develop a piece of property has to come up with some way of acquiring that access, which may mean talking a public agency into creating a facility, or they may have to acquire additional property rights so they can create their own facility. Now, there's also, in this particular case, there would be the issuance of the lands that are set aside for public use. However, most of those have been locked up, but it wasn't that many years ago that section lines were available for anyone to construct a thoroughfare. The fact that they use that, I don't see how that could be interpreted as detracting from the value of the adjacent property owner, especially when the person that tries to improve it has to go through all the permitting requirements necessary in order to improve public lands.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. let me just give you something specific. In Anchorage, we constantly have battles between gravel pits, gravel trucks, and residential areas. It constantly goes on. And there's nothing here that's preordained. Someone picks a spot to live. You don't know for sure where they're going to get the gravel pit later. All I'm saying under this, I'm not doubting there's a bunch of other issues. There's just someone is going to have a claim who can show that they moved in on a residential street. There was nothing going on. If they can find an appraiser who will come in and say they've lost more than 20% of their value because of their regular gravel trucks, which isn't hard to prove. You know, if there's home sales before and after the gravel trucks started, that alone would be the basis. You're now able to get some compensation. That's all I'm saying. I'm not raising any of these other issues.
I think, if I may, I think that I don't read anything in the bill that would preclude making the claim. I don't think that you're guaranteed the compensation.
No, I didn't say you're a guarantee. It's just it's going to be a subject of this bill. That's all I was trying to get across.
Representative Green?
So. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because this is hypothetical, I wanted to enter it in the record some factual information that on homes that weren't affected by gravel trucks or anything else, this was a residential area. In fact, it was several residential areas. Having to do with the Alaska Hire provision that if a company brings an employee up from the outside and within 2 years is discharged, they have an obligation to send the employer has an obligation to make that person whole, get them back. And that there was a provision with one company that said that if we will go in and make an appraisal value for your property, and if you don't like that, you can have other appraisals made, and they would kind of look at the splitting the difference between the three. And I submit to you, in residential areas unaffected by any external force, there was as much as a 30% variance in the appraisal of those values. And to me, if that's for a home site, unaffected by any external force, that the appraisal value of other areas such as you're talking about just gets completely, potentially, out of sight. And since their appraisal is an art form, it's not a science, unfortunately, there would be, I think, standing in court. And I think we're opening up Pandora's box, potentially.
It is the intention, or my intention, not to try to vote on this bill today, obviously. I think this is an area that we have developed, I think, an understatement is a complex area of potential legislation. What I would like to do is ask, and I have talked previously with the sponsor who said he is more than willing to be guided by the questions that have arisen and the concerns that have arisen during the testimony today and work with a couple of people that we've already identified and try to address them. I think at some point in time, obviously, we're going to come up against the philosophy of the bill versus the concern and have to make a decision, and that's obviously fine. But those things that can be worked out previously, I'd certainly be my intent to try to do that. Within that, if I could add one challenge to your exercise, one of the things that to me seems to be a bit of an unintended dichotomy is the competing interest concern. Perhaps another way of saying it would be someone who, in an area that wasn't zoned, bought a piece of property with the idea of putting the proverbial garbage incinerator on it, and applied for the permit. The neighbors, through the permitting process, complained about odoriferous wayfings. That's the correct way to describe that, but you know what I mean.
Stink.
Stink, yeah. It seems that this is one of those catch-22 deals. It appeared there wasn't anything that would have prohibited the permitting by existing regulation or statute or zoning or whatever. But probably you could get an appraiser to say that X number of lots around this property were affected within your 20%. And obviously, if he couldn't do what he intended to do with the property, he's more than 20% affected. How do you deal with that? So with that challenge, let me, if there is no other discussion, we'll continue the hearing until a date that we will notify you in the proper order of scheduling, as we don't know how long this is going to take. If not, we'll call this.
Thank you.